My brothers and sisters, then, for this message this morning, I would ask that you would be mindful then of this word from 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. Now, faith, hope, love remain, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Values that last. Will you pray with me? Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable within your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. I know on many occasions we struggle with the ministry and the writings of Paul. But there are some things about him that just cut across our theological perspectives. I'm thinking about in the time of the birth of the early church. At a time when there was great diversity among the people, by that I mean people coming from many different places, some persons had some kind of religion, some kind of belief. Other persons may have had nothing. But they had heard this word, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Truly, to hear this word is a beginning. And for the Corinthian church, I would invite all of us to study the whole letter again. I believe that Corinth is not far from where we are today. It was a church filled and described as filled with problems. And so they were seeking solutions within the church, while at the same time recognizing that the society around them is corrupt. So Paul's letter to Corinth has been described as strong and straightforward. And a key verse becomes that of 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. And I wanted you to hear this word. I appeal to you, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony, so there won't be any divisions in the church. I plead to you, be united in mind, in thought, and in purpose. And so the principles of thought are outlined throughout 1 Corinthians. But when you come to 1 Corinthians 13, Paul has phased out these words. He describes them as a more excellent way. And so to the church. To the church is given the values that they can build on, that they can build upon, and through them their own personal witness. What I'm saying is, when they are the gathered community, or when they are the scattered church, there becomes for them a witness. You begin with they are to be persons of faith. Faith can be described as understanding God's message. To understand the message, to receive the news of the birth and the resurrection of Christ, and how it is the gift of new life. The value of faith. And then the value of hope. I share often that word that there can be no such thing as a Christian without hope. Another way to speak of this is hope is an attitude. Hope is an attitude, one that is positive, one that has its focus on good news. It is in a time of brokenness that Christians of hope claim the words of that old spiritual, "There is balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole." The value of faith, the value of hope. And yet Paul claims that the greatest of these is love. Why this step in speaking about the greatest? There are several reasons, but one of them that just sticks out is this. The Corinthian church was a church without love. A church without love. I again encourage you to read the whole book, and we can identify with the many ways. In reading the whole book, you can identify the many ways in which they were a gifted church. Paul would identify those gifts and would give thanks for them. But so focused were they on their gifts that they had lost what it was, that sense of what it was, to love one another. Instead, it was almost what you would expect to hear from children. "My gift is greater than your gift. My gift is greater than your gift." Do you hear that almost like you would expect from children? And so Paul says in the chapter 13, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things." And so this value of love, Paul says it is the greatest. I wanted to suggest three reasons why this morning. First, to love is to care. It was Jean Barron who wrote, "The world will not care what we know until they know we care." The world will not care what we know until they know we care. On this Memorial Day weekend, and I'm lifting up now the passing of the fireman, Lieutenant Richard Montoya. There were just so many things that stuck out to me, and I think reached out to all of us as we observed what happened to him. So many things that just bring out passion, so many things that bring out concern then for his family. But I think one thing we've heard repeated over, only 15 shifts away until retirement. As he was helping that young girl, that wasn't what was on his mind. What was on his mind was that he cared. He had spent all of his life, all of his career, I would dare say he spent his call responding to situations just like that. And at that moment, only 15 shifts from retirement, what was first and foremost was he cared and he wanted to save her. To love is to care. Secondly, love is action. And we have to be careful here, because we can become so wrapped up with our hobbies, with our luxuries, and with all that we have, that we can forget to love others. We can forget to feel the passion and the concern for all of those and for what it is that we might see around us. Love is action. John 3:16 spoke it so well. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And then C.S. Lewis penned those words, God loved us not because we are lovable, but because God is love. The third point I would share then is that love is the greatest because it has power to transform the world. It was that old preacher, Charles H. Spurgeon, who was traveling one day in the countryside. And he noticed that at a farm, the farmer had one of those arrows that just was blowing in the wind. But what stuck with him was, on the arrow it said, God is love. And so he had to stop and he had to ask the farmer, are you trying to say then that God's love is changeable? That it just veers about as the arrow turns in the wind? The farmer said, oh no, that's not what I meant. What I mean to say is that whichever way the wind blows, God is still love. Whichever way the wind blows, God is still love. I think that the wind is blowing in the direction that the church cannot be content with all that we may see around us. We must not have a spirit of resignation and defeat. But somehow the love of God is saying to us, we can change. We can change what we see. Olga and Ole lived in a very remote area. And Olga was really needing some affection and some attention, for they were in this remote area all by themselves. And so finally she went to him and told him, you know, I could just use something. Before we got married, you used to tell me all the time that you loved me. Ole looked at her and said, Olga, that's true. When we married, I told you that I loved you. And if this ever changes, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. This is not enough. It wasn't enough for Olga, and it's not enough for us right now. Amen. For the church, it is not a time for apathy, but it is a time to say, and to say it with power, that this love, The love of God is new each day. And if we claim this word, then we have power to transform the world. But I learned about my new work this week, as difficult as it is to leave you. But what I learned about my new work this week is that will give me the opportunity to contribute. Don't know what, but to contribute. And to see if we can't contribute together. To try to really make a difference in the world. In the world. To try and really say that things can be transformed. And if 9 million United Methodists then will come and pull together with the spirit of making a difference, and that we can transform the world, if we come together with this spirit, then we can turn the world upside down. Love. Love. It is a value. There are values. They are values that last. Faith, hope, love. Would you say those with me this morning? Faith, hope, love. Say it again. Faith, hope, love. Turn to somebody next to you and say it. Faith, hope, love. Let me close this way then. I shared with you last Sunday, and several of you shared with me at the door your apprehension too about flying. And I wanted to let you know that everything went well. But coming home, there was a young woman. She looked like she was 12 or so, but she sat down right behind me, and somebody said, "This is your first time, isn't it?" And she said, "Yes." And it was just amazing how the advice came pouring in. Somebody said, "Close your eyes." Somebody else said, "Open your eyes." Somebody said, "Sit up straight." Somebody else said, "No, sit back." Somebody said, "Do you want to take something?" Finally, I don't know who it was, but they said, they called her name and said, "You know, you've come too far to turn back now." That's what I wanted to say this morning. We've come too far to turn back now. We know for sure that God's love is with us always. Amen.